This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. It may be a struggle for some older adults to attend concerts, lectures, and other art events, but it doesn't mean they lose their passion for the arts. Creative Aging Cincinnati brings artists, performers, and educators to local senior centers, retirement communities, adult daycare centers, and nursing homes. Here to talk about the benefits of creative stimulation as we get older are Creative Aging Cincinnati Director Bev Ross and Program Director Lisa Lakers. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bev and Lisa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
How did Creative Aging Cincinnati get its start in the first place, Bev?
So it started back in 1975 with a sister, Joan Leonard. And she was a sister, a member of the Ursulines of Brown County Order. And she had done a literature program down in Over the Rhine with a group of seniors. And as a result of that, she noticed and really took note of how beneficial it was for the seniors to be taking part in this program and the perks that came out of the program. So she started the organization then. So we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. And it's taken many forms over the years. What Sister Joan did in her time was she had what we now call outreach programs.
Did she stay mainly with literature at the start?
She did not. No.
Okay, she started to branch out after that.
She branched out after that and did large what we call outreach programs where she would bus in seniors from all over the city for large events. So she would have multiple events throughout the year and bus in many seniors to one large venue. And it's taken many different shapes over the course of the 40 years that the organization has been in operation. Right now, that's one of the things that we do. But our main focus is what we call in-facility programs. And that's where in-facility programs came out of what they found was that transportation became more of a liability, harder for facilities to get if they weren't having it provided for them. Bus drivers were kind of, I think, harder to come by. So what they started doing was taking the artists into the facilities. The benefit of that is if you have a bus from a facility, taking it to the facility, you can fill that bus with maybe 10 to 12 seniors. What happens when you take the artist into the facility is that you can serve anybody in that facility.
You're going to reach a lot more people, aren't you?
A lot more people, yes. Yeah. And the people that go on field trips or that would attend these large events were those that can typically, maybe some of them could be in a wheelchair, but a lot of them could walk. Whereas if we're taking them into the facility, you have those individuals that cannot leave the facility. So we're serving a greater number and just a wider variety of seniors with the programs that we're serving now.
Now, the organization was originally known as the Arts and Humanities Resource Center for Older Adults. Then in 2004, you had a name change. That's when you became the Creative Aging Cincinnati.
Yes.
Why the shift in names?
Really, it was just to kind of better reflect the work that we do and that aging is kind of learning is a lifelong process, and it really does not stop. You don't stop learning just because you're getting older. You can still do a lot and learn a lot, and that's one of the types of programs that we have, which I think tie pretty well into just that, is that we have art programs, and we've had seniors, I've seen firsthand, as Lisa has as well, we've seen seniors that have entered into an art class saying they've never taken an art class before, and you know, they're kind of leery of it, and they come out of there very proud of their artwork and excited the work that they've done because it's something they never thought they could do before. And so so the name just kind of better reflected what we're trying to accomplish.
And Lisa, I guess my worry would be I'm not a creative person. I mean, do you have to be a creative person to benefit from this?
No, you do not. We get that often from our activity directors that we work for and who sign up for our programs. And one that I can think of in Cheryl Panabecker, who is one of our creative artists who actually does different work with different medias. She's very nurturing with the people, and she takes them where they're at their level, and they can produce a piece of art that then they're very proud of.
You know, my grandmother was a great example of this. She learned to paint when she was in her 70s. And when she did this, she was not a creative person, or at least she never would have said she was a creative mm-hmm. person, but she turned out to be very creative and very good at painting. It was like a whole new world opened up to her. And is that what you're seeing?
Absolutely.
I think it exposes them to different medias maybe that they would not have taken the opportunity to, you know, take on as an individual, especially if you're there with a friend and there's that social aspect of we're working together on a project. So I think that we've seen some success with that also.
Now, can you give me some examples? Art programs? What other kinds of programs are you offering?
We do have another artist, Rachel, her expressive therapy. So she's working with different mediums, too, besides just paint. She's doing some seashell art. So that brings in another aspect of reminiscing and more textiles. That's kind of what I'm thinking of, Bev.
In addition to the art programs, is that we have a wide variety of music programs. So we have artists that, if you can think of any type of instrument, we probably have an artist that provides that. We have art, the history and culture. We have one, we were just talking about one of our popular programs is through the Cincinnati Preservation Association, and they bring out a virtual slideshow of architecture from all over Cincinnati. And they have three different programs that they offer, but it's on a large screen so that everybody can see it. And the moderator of that, Jeannie, she does a fantastic job explaining the buildings, but it's really kind of, it's not just showing them that. You'll hear a lot of the seniors interacting and saying they remember when that building looked that way. So
we also work with the Cincinnati Art Museum and the Cincinnati Taft Museum, and they provide speakers bureaus that come out and do various topics.
Yep.
For and then, our centers.
And in addition to those, we have the wellness program category, which is a newer category for us, probably within the last 7 years. So that kind of that category is we're kind of building up, but we have dance classes, Tai Chi classes. So the music programs are they're all very interactive. The history and culture program, also very interactive. The wellness programs is where they're actually doing hands-on. So we have a ballet class that they can do sitting or standing.
Chair yoga.
Yes, chair yoga. Everything is tailored to meet the needs of the group in that facility. And in some facilities, we have very active seniors. We have the church groups. We have senior centers where the, you know, the seniors are more active and able to move a little bit more. And then we have those in the nursing homes or assisted living that are a little bit more limited in what they can do. And our goal when we bring the artists in is to make sure that they can adapt the program exactly to the group that we're serving.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Have you kept track over the years of how many different programs you've offered and how many people have actually participated in these programs?
We have. I did not mark down the number of programs, but we have served since the beginning of the organization over 314,000 seniors.
Yes, last year was one of our banner years. We had some opportunities to reach out to more facilities through some funding, and we served over 19,000 seniors, which was exciting for me because it was my first full calendar year in programming and working with all these new facilities and activity directors. So that was very exciting, and that was 602 programs just last year.
Wow, 602 programs. That is amazing. Any particular programs or performers that are popular with the
We have acoustic guitar, KJ Somerville. He gets booked a lot, and he's a great guy. He's been with our organization for a while. Ricky Nye does blues and jazz. Todd Hepburn is a great guy. He also does jazz. Cheryl Renee sings the blues.
Raison d'etre is another one, a trio group.
They do a trio. One of the interesting aspects of my job is that I get to go out and audition prospective artists when they hear about us and they would like to join. And we just hired on at the end of 2015 the Golden Eagles. And they're four retired gentlemen out of Western Hills, and they're very popular among our centers. They do doo-wop and 50s and 60s music, and they always get a great review from our members. Great guys.
A lot of, like Lisa had said, part of her job is to screen the artists before we bring them in. And Lisa and I, we've talked about this before. What we bring to the table is we both used to be activity directors out in the field working with the seniors. So when we're bringing in new talent, we're not only looking for a talented artist, we're looking for somebody that has that niche with the senior population, somebody that can interact well with them and pull them into the program, not just perform for them.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk to Naomi in Loveland. Hi, Naomi.
Hi. How are y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Naomi.
Hi. I am am a nationally board certified music therapist, so I am very excited about this program. And I work in hospice, so I deal a lot with elderly persons, which makes me even more excited.
Yeah.
So I guess my biggest question is, how do you initially create these programs, where you have these programs? How do you make these contacts? And just in general, affect more persons.
Thanks for the call, Naomi. We have a website, creativeagingcincinnati.org, where you would be directed to my email, and that is how most people make their point of contact, or you can call me at 200-6940. You and I would meet and discuss some of your qualifications and what you thought you would like to offer to our senior population. And we could then set up an audition where I could come see your work, and or if you have references with other facilities that we've worked with before, then we kind of go for there. Once you are approved through the audition process, then you go on to our website, where our director, Bev, then sets an email blast out to all of our current members, who would then be introduced to you as a new member with Creative Aging. And then that's how the bookings would flow from there. So our activity directors say they wanted to have a music therapy program once a month or three or four times a year based on what their membership level was, then they would contact me, and then my job as the program director is to set up all those programs. I hope I answered your question.
Naomi, thank you for the call. What kind of reaction do you get from the older adults who participate in these? What do you see?
Honestly, I think the best way to kind of share that is just telling you a couple quick stories of what we've seen firsthand. A
couple of success stories.
Yes.
Okay.
There was a gentleman that I knew who had had Parkinson's, and when somebody has Parkinson's, it affects the way that they walk, what they would call their gait, and so kind of they freeze quite a bit. And this particular gentleman, when a song was being played for him, or a beat was being tapped out, he would the freezing would stop, and he would be able to walk fluidly with you. The same type of story, bringing music to somebody, if just them dancing along, they could dance. Like, you would never know that something was wrong with their walking. Another thing that we've seen multiple times is those individuals that have some form of dementia, whether it's Alzheimer's or stroke-related. But particularly Alzheimer's, if you've known somebody with Alzheimer's, they kind of disconnect from the world around them, and kind of, the best way to describe it is that it's a result of them not really understanding what's going on, so they kind of withdraw. But then what happens when you bring in a song that they remember maybe from years ago? They will actually sing along to a song when they can't carry a conversation, and it's kind of magical. I don't know any other way to describe it. It's very fulfilling.
Sounds
for
wonderful.
Us, but yes, but to be able to see it in action is amazing.
I recently had the opportunity to attend at the Green Township Senior Center, where one of our artists performed for their monthly dinner. And the artist that we had out scheduled that night was Jody Anderson, who did a great job. And she sings a beautiful voice, but she has a very engaging personality and had the folks up out of their seats dancing. And my mom was my guest, and at the table where we sat, a gentleman, he jumped up and he danced for every song. And his wife kind of, quietly mouthed to my mom that he had Alzheimer's. But yet in that setting, what was so wonderful, I think, is he felt comfortable enough and could jump up and enjoy that music. So it was a neat opportunity for both of us to see.
And we just also, just one other story on that. We recently had a program. We collaborate with multiple arts organizations around Cincinnati. So we're not just bringing out individual artists. We're also bringing out organizations, because the specific organizations want to serve the seniors. And we're kind of their way to be able to do that. We have the contacts with the facilities. So we recently hosted a large event out at Cedar Village with the Cincinnati Ballet. They do their in-step outreach program, and it's a wonderful program. But there was a lady who was very interested in the program, asking questions. And at the end, she said that her daughter used to dance, and it just brought back so many memories. And she was just thrilled to be there, and just kind of she lit up throughout the program.
Sounds like there are a lot of positive benefits.
Yes. Absolutely.
We've had a private funder recently who was interested specifically in providing one-on-one interactions for those folks who suffer some form of dementia. A lot of our programs that we take into facilities, they may be able to present in a large auditorium, but if I'm someone who's in end-stage Alzheimer's disease or for whatever reason can't tolerate a large group, so this gentleman, because he had seen the effects of music in his family, he sought us out, and with some funding, we were able then to take individual artists who go into several of our facilities. They were trained to work one-on-one with these individuals, and we've seen and heard a lot of great success stories from those facility contacts and even family members. At the Alois Alzheimer's Center, they're very excited to get it on their calendar. They have family members that really look forward to that opportunity when Roberta Schultz comes out and plays the guitar, and we have Stacy Woolley from the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra goes out and plays violin, and it's very fulfilling.
Let's talk with Nancy in Newport. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I'm an artist with Creative Aging. Hi, Bev and Lisa.
Hi, Nancy.
I've been in the program about 7 years, and I have had personal experience with dementia, both from family members and being in many facilities before I joined Creative Aging. And it's true that people that are nonverbal will start singing on familiar songs, such as When Irish Eyes Are Smiling, which is one that everybody knows and loves. Mm-hmm. So while we tend to do more in the Celtic direction, we do lots of things with patriotic songs like God Bless America or America the Beautiful. It just brings back very, very early memories, and music is embedded in the right brain. So that doesn't often leave, even when other skills do leave, which I've seen firsthand with loved ones that I've taken care of with dementia, that they can still sing and tunes still stay with them even if they've lost the ability to speak.
Nancy, thank you for the phone call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That just kind of a lead in. Our artists are amazing. I mean, we have over 130 artists that we work with, and just like Nancy's story there, they really understand the work that they're doing. It's not just a job for them. I think they really are fulfilled by the work as well. So we're blessed to have wonderful artists that we work with.
Well, Bev and Lisa, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Creative Aging Cincinnati Director Bev Ross and Program Director Lisa Lichters. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. Dave Shermer was our technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. More than 200,000 U.S. service members return to civilian life each year. That transition can be difficult for veterans and their families. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss the challenges veterans often face in transitioning from military to civilian life and hear about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's Veterans Coming Home Project and an upcoming town hall meeting at Public Television CET. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.